Turn to two passages with me tonight, Matthew chapter 16 and Joshua chapter 1. Matthew 16 and Joshua chapter 1. As we make progress into this new year, we want to be successful in our Christian life. We want to be successful as a church. We want to be successful as families. And as a church, to be successful, it means the members and the families are successful. We all want to be a success for Christ. In Matthew 16, verse 24, Jesus gave a talk to his disciples. He had just dealt with Peter acting as a satanic influence to try to keep him from going to the cross, which was his mission. Then said he unto his disciples, in verse 24 of Matthew 16, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He shall reward every man according to his works. Back in Joshua chapter 1, you know the story of Joshua, how God told him to be brave, strong, and of a good courage. He told him that in verse 6 of chapter 1. He told it to him again in verse 7. Then in verse 8 he gave these instructions, This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. So meditating in the Word of God and obeying it is the way to find success in the eyes of the Lord. I wonder if we have goals. Some folks set New Year's resolutions or goals for a new year. The most common are weight loss and improvement, self-improvement. What is our goal as a church? I think the mandate God has given to us as a church is to make disciples for Christ of all nations of people. We have goals as a family. You may have a goal personally. If your goal is to get rich, you probably won't. They already found the lottery winners. And that's about the only way you're going to get instant rich, or some long-lost uncle that was wealthy left you money. You inherit it. Or win a big prize, that's about the only way to get rich in an overnight way. Leadership advises that what matters most for your success is what you do day by day. Doing the same thing day by day over a long period of time. It's the same with investing. You put your money in and you leave it for a long period of time. You put it in good stocks, strong stocks, blue chip type corporations that make money, and you leave it there over a long period of time. We also need to continually invest ourselves in development. Goals for ourselves, developing our own personal goals. We compound our own assets by doing that. Some of the most talented, best looking, smartest people in the world are miserable failures when it comes to the things that matter most. Most important that you know Christ is your Savior, that you have a home in heaven. It's important that you have a family that loves the Lord and is in church and lives for God. That's more important than rising to the top of the corporations of the empires of the world. Home and family. Some of the people who want those things, a good home, a good family, they sacrifice those at the altar of business success. By putting so much time in their career and so much effort in their career, and the career drives their life rather than them trying to be successful in their career. Being successful for God and for our family and for ourselves is not based on our talent. It's not based on how smart we are. It's not based on our looks, but it's on determination and obedience to the Word and having a plan and working the plan that we have to fulfillment. To be successful, we have to be able to learn. We have to be teachable. We have to be somebody who wants to learn if we're going to be successful. Jesus had disciples and they followed Him. He said, "Follow me and I will teach you to be fishers of men. I will teach you things if you follow me." And for 3.5 years, Jesus taught these disciples the eternal truths of the kingdom. And they were learners. But until they were empowered with the Holy Spirit, they struggled with how to put these things into practice in their life. I was taught to weld by a master welder. And I wish I had had a great teaching pastor who I could have sat under for a period of time as a staff member. Probably would have saved a lot of heartache and heartbreak in establishing a church if I'd had that kind of a mentor to guide me in those early years instead of coming straight out of college and starting a church. And so I've had to learn on the job training and by the school of hard knocks. And some of you have gone through life that way also. You didn't have parents to show you and teach you and bring you along in a trade or a way of life or in your family and your home. Some of you did, and that's been a great asset and a great blessing to you, and it kept you from having a lot of difficulties and problems. In a study of 90 top leaders from a variety of fields, leadership experts Warren Bennis and Bert Nanus made a discovery about the relationship between growth and leadership. It is the capacity to develop and improve their skills that distinguish leaders from their followers. Someone who learns how to develop and improve. Successful leaders are learners. They find something that needs to be done. They study how to do it. They teach others how to help them. And they get the job done. A learning process takes self-discipline. All of you that have gone through training with a job, college education, study for a field of endeavor, you know that it takes a lot of self-discipline and perseverance to continue at the goal. It takes work. It takes a commitment. It takes making those things a priority. That takes time away from other things that you might like to do. Jesus said in order to be His disciples, we must deny ourselves and take up His cross and follow Him. There's a lot of effort and sweat and toil in that explanation of what it takes to be a disciple of Christ and to be successful for the Lord. That means we're probably going to have to turn off Oprah Winfrey and the late night funny papers and the late night comedians and some of those things on television and spend a little more time reading and studying and invest ourselves in some good books. Nothing wrong with listening to good music, but you need to have enough good books to learn. Every Christian who wants to grow as a Christian and be a good disciple of Christ and be used of God to be a witness for the Lord ought to have a good Bible dictionary and a good concordance and a good study Bible. And you ought to invest yourself in the time that it takes to learn the books of the Bible. Same thing with your job. If you're going to make progress where you work, you need to make yourself one who is an asset to a company that you would be chosen to be used. Learn how to. Learn what to be and what to do, and establish goals, and then finish your course. Invest yourself in the things that will help you to better yourself. Take a class. Nowadays, there's no excuse for anybody not taking classes because you can take them at home online. There's all kinds of schools that offer courses online, and you can take classes online. You can go to the community college. It's not all that expensive. And my wife's stepdad was a mechanic at the Celanese Corporation when it was in business. And he wanted to do some things around his house, and so he went out at York Tech and he took a course in bricklaying and block laying. And he already knew how to measure, he knew how to level, he knew the basics about building, but he didn't know a thing about how do you lay brick and block and all that. Went out there and took a little course at York Tech, came back to his home. He built a couple of outbuildings. He built a chimney on his house with rock and mortar. He put in a wood-burning insert in that, and it burned through the chimney. And then he had so many rocks in the property that they had bought. They had 17 acres there, and it had so many rocks that he kept piling up rocks all the time in his little cart behind his mower, you know, and putting them all in a big pot. He built a brick wall beside his driveway. By the way, his driveway was Ford Drive. Talking about Ford automobiles. You know, he was a Ford man. And so he had this little driveway that came in, Ford Drive, and he built him a brick wall up on the side of it all the way through his property. How did he know how to do all that? He went and took a course out at York Tech. And he learned how to do it. And I was amazed at what he accomplished. Building that chimney was a big deal. And you got to be real careful building a chimney. You can burn your house down if you don't know what you're doing. Right over here across the street where Jerry Hood and them live, they built that new development over there. First winter came around, and people started firing up their fireplaces, and three houses burnt down over there. Come to find out, they forgot to put the flues inside the chimneys on several of those houses. One of them burned so bad it melted all the vinyl siding on the house next door to it, you know. And so you got to know what you're doing. And how did he learn all that amazing information? Just went out York Tech and took a class. And there's things that we can learn in a variety of ways that make us more usable. And we can do the same thing as a Christian. We can educate ourselves in the things of God and what we need to do to be more effective in being a witness for Christ and being a disciple of Christ. As a Christian disciples, the things that may help us and better us is the attitude to be what we need to be and do what we need to do. We can work on making sure our life is a Christian testimony, that we seek to be a disciple of Christ, that we determine we're going to be a good parent, that we're going to be a good husband or a good wife, and we study what the Bible has to say about that, that we learn how to be a witness, memorize Scripture so that whether we have a Bible in our hand or not, if we're sitting in the doctor's office or somewhere, we could quote Scripture to someone who could show them how to be saved because we've learned those things and practiced those things. Secondly, because we're born again, we have a nature of Christ, and we're admonished to have the mind of Christ and the fruit of the Spirit. We have to develop our new nature. We have to make sure we don't develop our old nature. A person's nature determines their appetite. Cows eat grass. People don't eat much grass. They eat turnip greens, if you're from the South, and collard greens. I love collard greens and turnip greens. I grew some turnips this year, but I got them in the ground too late, and it's been freezing on them and all. You know, the turnips never get very big. But if you can get all the mud off of them, wash them, and get the tender leaves and cut up some of those turnips in there with them and boil them real good. Put a little seasoning in there on them, you know. I like turnip greens. I like turnips. I like collard greens. But we don't eat too much grass, you know, and hay and stuff like that. That's for cows. They have a nature to eat that. Squirrels eat nuts. I like nuts. But I don't like the kind squirrels like. Squirrels eat walnuts and hickory nuts. And we're not talking about English walnuts that you can put to them in your hand and crack them and eat them. We're talking about those kind that grow about that big around. They're green and then they turn black when they're ready and you skin the hide off of them and you'll get the stain all over your hands. And then you got to take a hammer and a rock and break that thing open and take a bobby pin or something and pick that little bit of goody out of that walnut. You'll be working all day long to get a little handful of stuff out of it. But a squirrel, he don't mind. He just gnaws right on through the whole thing and eats it. He don't mind the bitter at all. Hickory nut, same way. He'd take a hammer and a good block. You could bust a cement block trying to break hickory nuts with a regular hammer. The squirrel eats nuts. It's their nature. It's the nature of unsaved people to do the things we see unsaved people do. Get drunk, live wild, go out and party all night, and do the things that go with a sinful nature. They have an appetite for sin. But that should not be so with the Christian. The Christian should recognize we have a new nature, and those are old appetites that should be done away. We should have an appetite for spiritual things. Christian ought to want to go to church. They ought to want to read the Bible. They ought to want to spend time with God. Now, I understand it's a struggle all the time to spend enough time reading the Bible. I had a fellow not long ago, he's caught up in a cult, and he was boasting to me how he had read the Bible through 3 times in his life. And I said, well, that's good that you've read the Bible through 3 times. But let me tell you something. If you'd read 4 chapters in the Old Testament and 3 chapters in the New Testament every day, you'd read the Old Testament through every year, and you'd read the New Testament through twice. And in a 20 or 30 year period of time, that'd mount up to a whole lot more than 3 times. And maybe if you read your Bible more, you'd follow that cultic preacher you're following on TV a whole lot less, you know. Our nature. What kind of appetite do we have? Our nature determines our environment. Fish live in the water. I love to swim. I was a kid growing up, you couldn't hardly keep me out of the river. I'd stay out there in Lake Wiley every chance I got, ride a bicycle out there and go swimming. And swim all day long, come home dead, tired. Swim underwater so long my eyes would be bloodshot. And I just loved the water. Go to the ocean, do the same thing. Go to swim. Went to YMCA swimming pool and opened my eyes underwater and I got chlorine burned in my eyes. About had to go to the hospital. Well, it's not my nature to live in the water. It's the fish's nature to live in the water. Birds fly in the air. I'd love to fly, wouldn't you? I tried it a few times when I was a young person. You know, I jumped off the barn and flapped my arms real hard. Got me a piece of tin and jumped off the barn with a piece of tin. And it jumped, flew out of my hands and I hit the ground. People can't fly, but birds fly. That's their nature. Unsaved people love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. That's their nature. But Christians should love the light, just like these kids were singing up here tonight and shining the light. We should choose to walk in the light as He is in the light. Nature determines associations. Cats and birds are not usually playmates. Every once in a while you see somebody that's trained these animals, you know, in their house, and the parrot rides the cat's back or the dog's back, you know, and the cat and dog sleep together. But that's not their nature. That's somebody has trained them like a new nature. Their normal nature is the dog runs the cat up the tree, the cat will eat the bird, and you know, that's they just don't get along. They're not playmates. Well, who do you choose to spend time with? I'm concerned for Christians that enjoy spending time with unbelievers, that enjoy being around the people that take God's name in vain, and people who do lustful things and unspiritual things. The early church met together on a regular and a faithful basis. Acts 2:44. They stayed in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and breaking of bread. And later on, as they grew a little bit, the Bible says they went daily to the temple, and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Nature determines danger. One of our families, their son played with a turtle. Had one of these little tiny turtles you bite years ago. Y'all remember what a dime store was, don't you? Some of y'all old enough to remember that. Now it's Walmart. And I promise you, there's not many things in Walmart that cost a dime. Back in the old days, they had these little glass fish bowls. And you could get a turtle and you could make a terrarium. And you could put a little bit of moss in there and a rock and a little bit of water, you know, and drop a worm or two or something in there, a fly or something in there once in a while for the turtle to eat, and you could get you a little old turtle. Well, my wife likes turtles, and turtles like my wife. I didn't know this, but apparently old box turtles will come back to the same place every year. Because my wife has caught the same turtles in our yard, and she's taken fingernail polish and painted names on the back of them. And because we got grandkids, she painted the names of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles on the back of those turtles. And 2 years later, I'm down in the woods behind the house and kick over some leaves, and there's a turtle with nail polish on the back of his shell. I can't read the name that it says, but it's the same turtle. I don't know anybody else that's putting nail polish on the back of the turtle. And one of them would come up in the front yard, climb up on the porch, and eat the cat's food. Another one didn't have a taste for that. It would eat vegetables, but it wouldn't eat the cat's food. And so we had to put some little slices of vegetables out there, you know, and the other one could eat some of the cat's food. But you know, salmonella can breed on a turtle, just like it can on leftover chicken parts. And salmonella doesn't bother a turtle. One of our families, their son played with the turtle. He got salmonella poisoning. He had to go to the doctor and get on medication and all that sort of thing. You see, salmonella will kill us. It can harm a human. But there's several animals that it doesn't bother. Catfish live on the bottom of the river. Now, there's several types of catfish. If you're from the South, you learn that when you're young, because you eat those things. You go out to the river, you don't catch them old slimy catfish that lay on the bottom of the water and eat mud and dead fish and all that sort of thing. That's a bottom feeding catfish. What you want to eat is a blue catfish that eats live bait just like a bass does. It eats shad and minnows and things like that. And it's a different breed of a catfish. It's a blue catfish. And they get pretty big. But catfish can eat slop and live on the bottom of the river, but you and I can't do that. I have a thought process for me. I start thinking about things. How is it that so many people have problems eating bacon and eggs and all those kind of things? They're bad for you now, but they weren't bad for old people back years ago that lived to be 100 years old that ate them every day. Well, I've come to the conclusion that my great-grandpa could go outside and milk the cows and feed up and work in the garden and yard for about 2 hours and come inside about 7 o'clock in the morning and be wringing wet with sweat, and he could sit down and eat 6 eggs and a half a pound of bacon and 4 or 5 big old cat head biscuits and then go back out and work all day. But I can't eat like that and go sit behind that desk in there and do nothing, because it'll kill me sooner or later. You know, it'll clog up my arteries and all that sort of thing. And so our nature determines the dangers that we have. Animals can live outside in the winter. We've got a cat that lives outside all the time. It's a female fixed cat. She's got to be at least 20 years old now. Just an old gray tabby cat. Her name is Oops. She has survived all the grandkids, you know, petting her the wrong way and pulling her tail and all that sort of thing. Daniel brought that cat over there when he was a young boy. And he's a grown man now. You got it from Ron DeCourcy. 20 years ago. And that cat has lived in your... A cat's never been in my house that I know of. I'm sure my wife and daughter snuck it in there a time or two. But it stays out in the yard. 13 degrees outside. Don't matter. The cat finds it a warm place. And it can live outside like that. Grows its fur out. In the wintertime, that cat will eat 2 or 3 dishes of food and scratch on the door wanting more. In the summertime, you can't get her to eat a half a dish of food one time a day. And she'll lose all her weight back. That's what I keep telling everybody. I'm planning in case I have to hibernate or something. You know, I might get cancer or something, and I need all this extra weight to pull me through. Paul said there are things that are lawful for us, but they're not expedient for us. They're lawful for us, but we should not be brought under the power of them, of addiction and that sort of thing. Nature determines abilities. I'd love to be able to see like an eagle or a hawk or an owl at night. We had an owl on our driveway. We got a dirt driveway, so at least 30 feet wide. And that owl's wingspan looked like it would cover the entire thing. You know, when it would fly down out of them trees at night and fly up the road, its wingspan was so wide, it was just unbelievable how big that bird was. And a couple of times in the daytime, that bird roosted in a big old pine tree on the driveway, and when I'd come around the motorcycle, it'd drop something on my head. I guess I woke him up, made him mad. Dropped a squirrel on me one time. Next time, it dropped a snake on me. I started watching before I got to that tree from then on, you know, to be careful. But I can't see at night like an owl. I can't hardly see in the daytime at all, let alone like an eagle or a hawk. But thanks be to God, eagles and hawks don't have to go to the doctor and get glasses and bifocals, but we can, you know, so that we can see a little bit longer than we would be able to. I cannot prevent age from affecting my sight, my hearing, and my longevity. But I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And if I serve the Lord, He's got a reason to keep me around and to keep me longer. If I'm being effective for Him and using my talents and abilities for Him, He's got a reason for me to survive. I can be a witness. I can praise the Lord. We can be successful as Christians in this new year if we put forth the efforts. Thirdly, let's seek to grow and learn and accomplish what's needed to be done in this new year. God intends that we continue to grow and serve Him throughout all our days. We never get to the point that we know it all or we know enough. We can always learn more. We can always do more. We can always accomplish more if we'll continue to grow. He has the answers for life's demands. His way is best, and it brings us blessings if we follow His way. We've got to learn to do the old expression, we've got to learn to eat the elephant. The only way to eat an elephant is one bite at a time. And life is like eating the elephant. We've got to take things one day at a time, and one crisis at a time, and one event at a time. With patience and endurance, eventually it'll get done. Day by day, over a long period, going in the same direction, we could walk around the whole United States if we wanted to. I had a friend that I was in the Marine Corps with when he was in high school from Rock Hill, the Neal family, Paul Neal. He rode a bicycle to California when he was in high school. And that's 3,000 miles. I don't think he rode it back. I think he rode it out there and stayed with his aunt or something for a while. And may have flew home or something, I'm not sure. But he rode that bicycle 3,000 miles. He had determination. He wanted to do it. And you know what he did? He rode some every day. He didn't have to be there by any particular time. And so he just struck out, and he had enough money and enough people he knew to stay with along the way, and he just got busy and he got it done. Too many of us are like the pendulum on a clock. We swing from one extreme to another, but we never really go anywhere. We just seem to be doing the same thing over and over without making any progress. Slow, continual progress accomplishes much more than extremes will ever produce for us. Doesn't take much effort to be a spectator. I'm a great sideline coach. I could sit on the side and tell every coach how he should have run the game. You know, it would have been done a lot better if you just followed what I said to do. But when you actually get into the position where you're the one that has to do it, you find it's a lot different than you thought it was going to be. Successful people develop a plan, and then they work at that plan to accomplish what they've set goals to do. Takes education. You can finish a college degree in 4 years. BS or BA degree. You can finish a master's degree in many skills within 6 years. Some it takes a little longer. Brother Dick went to college and took accounting and finished his degree and got out in the business world working and then felt the Lord leading him to go into ministry, went back to college and finished a full Master of Divinity degree. And that took quite a sacrifice on he and Sue's part to pay their way, to produce their living and pay their college account and spend the time that it took to go through. What is it you could plan to accomplish? What needs do you have? I read a number of leadership books years ago, and I picked up some bits and pieces in this message tonight. Maxwell on leadership said, many people fail to be leaders because they simply don't know what they don't know. Let that sink in a moment. They don't know the things that they don't know. They don't know what it is that they need to learn. They don't know what it is that they need to accomplish, that they need to set goals with. If we're willing to learn what we don't know about being a Christian, a disciple, a parent, a husband, a wife, a job, a worker, then that is a great step in the right direction toward accomplishing the goal. When you get to the place that you learn, we don't know it all. There's things we don't know and some things that we need to learn. I know what I don't know, so that's a great step forward. Then we get busy learning what it is we don't know. We grow, and it starts to show when you grow. I've seen young people go off to Bible college, and they come home, and the parents and friends and family are amazed at how much they're learning in just a few years. They're answering questions. They're confident about their knowledge. They're talking about what they know. Some who work in corporations. My son Trey has never been a welder. I was what he calls a golden arm welder on a nuclear power plant, working on welding in the actual reactor vessels on a nuclear power plant. He's never been a welder of any kind. Now he's the president of a welding company and he owns part of the company. How did he do that? By training himself, by reading books, by educating himself, by being a good salesman. He's taken all of the John Maxwell leadership courses. And those things have helped him in being a salesperson to get into a place that when you produce for a company, they want to keep you around. They want to promote you. They want to use you to make money for them. And he's been very successful at that in this short time of his career. To lead tomorrow, you have to learn today. Be ready when your time comes. I'm thankful for all my kids and the hard work ethic that they have and the helping ethic that they have. Daniel Brenda got started keeping some foster kids years ago, and now they've become the leaders of Foster Parent Association. Why? Because there's so few people that are willing to do it. So few people that are willing to step up. So few people that are willing to take the initiative for something you don't necessarily get paid for. To lead tomorrow, you have to learn today, to be ready when your time comes. Education is never wasted. Any training you get, any preparation you get, any knowledge that you gain, God can find a way to use it for His honor and for His glory. You be a person of action in 2016. Start where you are. Endure. Make progress. Know your goals. And persevere until you reach those goals. We need to be busy as a church, seeking to be successful in our work for the Lord, doing what will achieve His goals. We need to be reminded we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. We'll get discouraged. We'll get in a crisis. We'll have some things to come along and shift our focus. But we need to get back to doing the right things and keep the main thing in our home and our family and our church, and we can accomplish the goals that God would have us to accomplish. Let's stand together. Father, I thank You for the faithfulness of Your people in being here tonight. Think a little bit about the new year and as a church, the new opportunities You've given us. We're so thankful for the progress we've seen recently and people coming into the church and people being saved and baptized and being part of the church. We pray, Lord, that we would we'd just love to see more of this take place. So in order to do that, we all need to be spreading the seed of the Word of God, inviting people to church, being a good witness, and pray that You'll help us to set a goal for ourselves to learn more and do more and accomplish more. Keep our home strong and Your church under the power of God. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can accomplish anything that You've given us to do. We praise You and thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.